Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry here with Lynn Scherr, who's in for Celeste Headlee today. Good morning, Lynn.
Hi, John.
So the wars have a way of getting in the way of the best laid plans of wartime presidents. I played that cut of Richard Nixon there at the top. You probably recall, as do I, that the war in Vietnam was widened during the withdrawal period at a certain point.
Presidents just can't control it the way they think they can.
And if they're relying on institutions inside the country, be it Vietnam or Iraq, there's even a greater degree of uncertainty. And that's what we're experiencing in Iraq this morning. And that's where we begin. The Obama administration claims it's sticking to its timetable for the drawdown of 50,000 U.S. troops in Iraq by early September. But that's despite continuing violence across the country and Iraq's March elections not decisive, and there's been continuing chaos in forming a new government. Joining us to talk about this, first of all, from a kind of analytical perspective, is Joost Hilterman, Iraq analyst with the International Crisis Group. He's on the line from Washington. Good morning, Joost.
Good morning.
And Caitlin Waters is still with us. Her husband, Mark Waters, is serving in southern Iraq. And I suspect all these reports of timetables you follow pretty closely, right, Caitlin?
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Well, listen up here. Joost Hilterman, what do you think? Is this timetable slipping? The administration claims they're still on schedule, but the widening violence in Iraq has to put a little more scrutiny into this whole schedule.
Well, I think that the timetable is somewhat flexible, but not the deadline so far anyway. I think the administration has been pretty clear that it wants to be down to 50,000 troops by the end of August, and it's sticking to that for now. But the drawdown has been an ongoing process. We're down to about 90,000 troops now, I believe, and so another 40,000 are to go. And the question is, will they go in the next month or in the next 2 or 3 months? This is something where the administration has room to tinker.
And 44,000 troops out before September. I mean, what kind of a logistical challenge is that? That would be the math as I see it.
Yeah, well, it's been a huge logistical challenge all along. And it's not just a matter of taking the troops out and bringing them home or deploying them elsewhere, but it's also the equipment. And a certain portion of the equipment is actually being sent through six countries on the way to Afghanistan. And that is a huge, huge logistical and diplomatic exercise.
And there have been reports. I mean, The Guardian is reporting that sources are already beginning to say within the administration or within the Pentagon that at least a month delay is a consequence of this wider violence. Do you buy it?
Well, I'm not so sure. On the one hand, you know, there's no doubt that the Army, the Pentagon, will have contingency plans in case things go really south in Iraq. But at the moment, they're not going south. They're sort of steady state. They're unhappy, but then they were expected to be unhappy. The American ambassador, even a few days ago, said, and I think correctly, that things were starting to look up, that we had crossed one hurdle. So I think if there is some talk of delaying the timetable, it is more to send a message to the politicians in Baghdad to get on with it than anything concrete on the ground.
Joost Hilterman is an Iraq analyst with the International Crisis Group in Washington, D.C. So, Caitlin Waters, I know you are under some operational security restrictions in terms of what you can talk about, right?
Yes, sir.
But your husband is somewhere in southern Iraq serving as a military escort, correct?
Yes, sir.
Any talk about this wider violence or its timetable slipping, any sort of sense from him? I don't know, honey, I'm not going to make it by Christmas, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, he doesn't specifically say certain things about the timetable. He just says that the missions are getting quicker, they're going faster. I mean, he called me about an hour ago to tell me goodbye. He loved me because he's headed on another mission. And these missions are getting more frequent as the timetable is actually getting closer. And there's points in time where he goes, oh, I've got to go. We've got another one coming, you know. And so, I mean, he says that he thinks that they'll be out by then, but he also says at the same time his truck hit an IED like 2 weeks ago. And so they said if these IEDs keep happening and they're getting more frequent, then it might slow them down just a little bit.
Now, it's not a challenge to convey what an IED is to an 8-month-old. That's your youngest. But you do have a 4-year-old. I'm wondering how you either conceal that information or explain in some detail what's going on with Daddy.
I don't really tell him about the IEDs because he is so young. But I do tell him that, you know, I got a big map out and I said, this is where daddy's at. And there are bad guys that are wanting to hurt him. And they're called insurgents. And and they work with Al-Qaeda and everything. And he has these big words and he thinks he gets it. But he knows that daddy is in harm's way.
Does he think that daddy's on his way home, that this drawdown is happening? I mean, he sees President Obama just like the rest of us.
Yeah, he came home from preschool the other day, and the teachers were actually talking about it, and he overheard it, and he says, my daddy coming home? And they all kind of forgot that my son's, you know, my husband's over there, and they were like, oh, no. So he came home with a load of questions for me, and I said, sweetheart, I don't know until I see the whites of your father's eyes and he's in our arms again that he's home, you know, and so.
Caitlin, you've been able to communicate with your husband by Skype, as I understand it, and you get these regular cell phone calls from him. Does that help, certainly, for the children to have that regular connection with their dad?
Oh, definitely. My four-year-old, at times, sometimes he'll come running in my room crying because he's had a nightmare that daddy got hurt. And I'm like, oh, no, don't tell me this, you know, because emotionally I'm trying to be strong for the boys. And I'll flip open my laptop real quick and I'll see if he's online. And if he's not, I'll send him a text if I know he's on a mission and ask him to jump online to show Aaron that he's okay, my oldest. And he'll do it. And he's like, hey, bud, I'm here. I'm okay. You know, you can go back to sleep.
It is such
and it'll calm him down.
Such a strange way to be fighting a war, John, isn't it?
Indeed. Well, you know, and Caitlin, you are on pins and needles as this withdrawal timetable it seems to slip a little bit. Yosta Hilterman, before we go, you know, four-year-olds have questions about this withdrawal. Generals have questions about this withdrawal. I think all the American people do. Where do you think we're going to be by September 1st?
I think we'll be pretty much where the United States plans to be, which is down to 50,000 troops. Who will be assisting and advising Iraqi forces until the end of 2011, when all American troops are supposed to be out of Iraq.
Yosta Hilterman, Iraq analyst with the International Crisis Group. 44,000 troops home by September 1st. Does that include your husband, Caitlin, do you think?
Actually, I do not believe that he'll be home by September the 1st.
Right.
Because he has a little bit more stuff left to do in Kuwait.
All right, well, keep that Skype connection in good shape. Caitlin Waters, her husband Mark Waters, is serving in southern Iraq. She joined us from Laurel, Mississippi. Thanks, and good luck to you, Caitlin.
Thank you.